And we're back here at Psalm 91. Now, let's understand something. As we look at the news, as we see the things that are transpiring in the world, and we understand what severe problems that the whole world is in, and what severe problems that we are, even in our own countries, regardless of where we are, we need to claim Psalm 91. And there may be even times you need to claim Psalm 91 every day for quite a period of time. But let's see who is there to help us. This is why we go through these things. Do we believe God? Do we trust God? Do we rely upon His Word? Have we developed a relationship with Him? Do we have His Word written in our hearts and in our minds? Do we really love God with all our hearts and mind and soul and being? Now notice, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that is us, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God has given us protection that the rest of the world cannot see. And the angels are there as ministering spirits as well. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. That's what it's all about. Everyone wants to be saved. Everyone wants to have eternal life. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty of things, there are a lot of people who do like Peter and said, well, I'm going fishing. Now here's a promise. Verse 3. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying pestilence. That's a promise. You can claim it. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Always trusting in the word of God. God is there. Christ is there. If we do that, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrows that fly by day. Now there's a book written by a Seventh-day Adventist family who were Germans during Second World War. And it's quite an account of what they went through. And they trusted in God. And though Germany was bombed to smithereens, and the city in which they were living was virtually leveled and destroyed through the whole thing, the family survived. The husband, who had to go to war, served in the, what you might say, the vehicle repair, and instead of carrying a weapon, he carved himself a wooden pistol, dyed it black, and put it in his holster, and no one knew that he did not have a pistol all through the war. Furthermore, on top of that, God delivered them time and time and time again, the family and their apartment, though the windows were blown out because of the bombs, was not touched otherwise. And they trusted in God. Now, brethren, surely we can do the same thing, can't we? A very inspiring story. Notice, for the plague that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction lying waste at noonday, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Now, we can claim that promise. Ask God to be with us. Fight our battles for us. Doesn't mean we won't have close calls. It doesn't mean that we won't escape. It's by the skin of our teeth, so to speak. Now, here's why. Here's why. Only with your eyes you shall behold and see the recompense of the wicked. It's going to come upon them. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. That means even in spite of what's coming down the road with the martyrdom of the saints. As Jesus said, they may be able to kill the body, but they can't take the life. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the asp and the young lion and the jackal. You shall trample underfoot. That's going to be at the resurrection. Why? Because you trust in God and because he loves you. Notice verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me. Now that's referring to you setting your love upon God. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. He doesn't flee and go away. No, in whatever trouble you are in, God is there. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Yes. Is Christ in you? Yes. Is he there with you? Yes. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation that we shall live forever. Just like the children of Israel passed on dry ground through the Red Sea. Likewise, whatever transpires in this world, though difficulties come near us, though we have trials to overcome and lessons to learn, God is with us in all those troubles. Now, let's come back here to Psalm 62 and let's see how these things are going to come about. Let's see how we're to trust God in everything. Look to him because that's why God showed his power in opening the Red Sea. Is there any man who has the power to do that? No. No one. Only the true God. Did Satan and his troops and Pharaoh, did they have the power to go against God? No. God took care of them. And always remember this. If you want to see what's going to happen to the wicked, the final battle, you go to Revelation 16, and the seven last plagues are poured out. And Revelation 19, the final battle. That's how God is going to take care of the enemy. And one thing greater beyond that, we'll be resurrected on the sea of glass. And we're going to witness it. See, remember, God has said, vengeance belongs to me. He's going to take it. All right, here's the attitude we need. Psalm 62. Only for God does my soul wait in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. Look at how you can handle situations. It doesn't matter what people think they can do. Is God able to cause them problems that they won't be able to come after you the way that they think they will? Verse 3. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. You shall be like a bowing wall and as a tottering fence. They even know their schemes against you. They only consult to cast him down from his great height. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah. Now, wherever there's Selah, that means stop and think and meditate on this so you really grasp the spiritual lesson. This is why, in the series that we did, the Keys to Answered Prayer, you take these psalms, you open up your Bible, you get on your knees, and you read them, and you let these words become your words, and then you let your words come from the innermost part of your being in praying to God. My soul, wait in silence for God alone, for from him comes my hope. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my strong tower. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Now notice this plea, and this is the whole lesson for the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Don't rely on the help of men, because it's not going to come. Verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie. And boy, you take that verse and you just look at the news and see, is that not true? When weighed in a balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and do not take pride in stolen goods. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. That power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you give to every man according to his works. Now, if these are our spiritual works, think of the blessing that God is going to bless us with. Now think, there is nothing that can be against us. We'll see this. We'll see this a little later. All right. Let's come down here. Psalm 59, since we're right here, right close, just across the page. Here's how we need to ask God to do when we're in difficulties and troubles. Verse 1, deliver me from my enemies, just like God did the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of evil and save me from bloody men. Now, if you're truly going to follow God, there are going to be times when circumstances will be very much like this. Why is that? So you can trust God. So you can learn how God will intervene for you. Notice what he says. Deliver me from my enemies, verse 1. Verse 2, deliver me from the workers of evil and save me from bloody men. For behold, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. And this could be a prophecy of some of the prayers of Jesus. Were they always waiting? Yes. Were they talking against him? Yes. Were they plotting to kill him? Oh, yes, they were. From the very first miracle that he performed in the synagogue. And because he said that the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath day. Oh, they were against him. Verse 4. Without my fault, they run and prepare themselves, awaken to help me and look upon me. And you therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all nations. And that's going to happen at the end. Show no mercy upon any wicked traitors. There we have it. That's quite a psalm. So if we can take that, see what you can do. See how these words of God, see, because with God's Spirit in us and that God is dealing with us and we are his begotten children waiting the resurrection, that these things inspire us, that these things uplift us, that these things give us courage and hope in time of need. And today, there's so many things going on. I mean, you look at the world, how it's just absolutely coming unglued and falling apart. How'd you like to live in Egypt? How'd you like to live in Syria? Well, let's come here to Psalm 11. You see, that's why I mentioned in the first day, to whom much is given, much is also required. We need to understand that. God has given us great knowledge. God has given us great understanding. We have many things that have not been available for the people of God, even down through much of the history of the church. That's why this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, is a tremendous blessing, brethren. It's designed to get rid of all of the false interpretations and translations in the Bible, to bring you and to bring anyone who reads it the truth of God, so they can come to the knowledge of salvation. And if not, it's a warning against them, you see. All right, Psalm 11. Here's what we need to do. Verse 1. In the Lord I've taken refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? No, God will protect you. He is there. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow. on the string so that they may secretly shoot at the upright in heart. Yes, you see, to be a true Christian takes the love of God, the truth of God, the hope of God, the grace of God, and it also takes courage, and it also takes determination, and it also takes resoluteness, and it also takes trusting in God in everything that you do. Now notice, even to what point? Verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, they're trusting in God, looking to God. Know this for sure. Now take this next verse, and you go back and study Revelation 4 and 5 about the throne of God and the 24 elders and the four living creatures and the praise and glory given to God because he's on his throne. And that's where your help is coming from. Notice, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his searching gaze test the children of men. And surely God is testing us. If he tested Abraham, he's testing us, isn't he? Yes, indeed. Are we Abraham's children and heirs according to the promise? Of course we are. So God wants us to be strong in him, just like it says. To look to his power, to look to his spirit, to look to his intervention. And God will do it. I've been in times and troubles when I've had to do it. God has delivered. He will deliver for you. Verse 5, the Lord tries the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. Now, what I want you to do is see how the Psalms are constructed, that we always look to the promises and the goal that we're going to be in the kingdom of God, see? And the day we're going to see God face to face. That's going to be a wonderful day indeed. Now, notice what it says, chapter 12 and verse 1. Here again, living in this world, it starts out, help, O Lord. And sometimes you need to cry out to God that way. For the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the children of men. And boy, when you look around, even in the churches of God, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Well, you know, God is going to take care of it. Pray for those brethren. Pray that God will intervene for them. Pray that God will bring them to repentance. Pray that they will be able to enter into the kingdom of God as well. You know, some churches of God look upon me and the people in Christian Biblical Church of God as enemies. We're not enemies. We pray for them daily. We pray that God will deal with them. We pray that they'll make it into the kingdom of God. How can you count brethren, even though they have troubles and difficulties, as your enemies? They're not. What did Jesus say? Love one another as I have loved you. Now, God also knows, and through Christ he promises, that as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. What for? To get rid of the sin, to get rid of carnal nature, and to quit yielding to the devices of Satan, the devil, in this world. And after all, is that not love from God to get us away from those things? Yes, indeed. Okay, let's continue on. There's an awful lot we can learn here. The whole section here is great. God is going to help us. Let's finish a little more here in Psalm 12. They speak falsehood, each one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak. And unfortunately, there have been infiltrators in the church of God who fit this description. And you know why they were sent? Because of sin and corruption that was not changed, that was not repented of, and the arrogance of trusting in men and physical things. Think on that. Yes, God is going to cut off all flattering lips. Yes, indeed. Now let's turn to Psalm 54, and then we'll look at how these promises are fulfilled in the New Testament. And we'll look at some of the forces that we need to be aware of that are guiding and oppressing and deceiving this world under the hand of Satan the devil, and how we need to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, standing for the truth, loving God, guarding the righteousness, not giving in to sin and circumstances around us, regardless of what transpires. All right, Psalm 54. Here's another one. Notice how this psalm starts out. You know, it's really great how these psalms start out sometimes. Gives us encouragement and understanding how we need to pray to God. See? Because our lives are completely in His hands. Verse 1, Psalm 54. Save me, O God! Hey, that's quite a plea, isn't it? And I'm sure it wasn't kind of a little whimpering, oh, save me, O God. No. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your righteousness. See, you don't have to go out and prove that you're right. God will prove that you're right. You don't have to go out and cause trouble. God will intervene for you. How? Verse 2. Hear my prayer, O God. How many times does he say, hear? Oh, listen, God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Now here we have where it could even apply to the circumstances of Jesus Christ, but it also applies to every one of us. We're living in the world. We're scattered abroad. And we've got to have that faith that comes from God. For strangers have risen up against me, and violent men seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Think on this. Meditate on this. And understand. There's the world. They are going to be against us. Now, maybe if right now they're not against us, they will. So that's why we have to have our mind set. That's why we have to learn the lesson of this day. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And go forward, not backward. Verse 4. Behold, God is my helper. And never forget that. We're going to see a really encouraging verse here in the book of Hebrews in just a bit. Behold, God is my helper. Now, if he's going to help you, who can be against you? Can anyone give you any help greater than God? Of course not. Isn't that something? God is my helper. Now, you think about your troubles. You think about what you're going through. You think about the personal circumstances in your life and realize God, through Christ, is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my soul. Yes, because there are those who will help you, pray for you, intercede for you. Yes, they're there. He shall reward evil to my enemies, destroy them in your faithfulness. God will. He'll send them away. He will destroy them. He will get rid of them. And all of that so we can draw closer to God. And all of these things, this is why we have troubles and difficulties, so that God becomes a greater reality in our lives, so that we learn to trust God in everything. And that we're just not playing church or keeping Sabbath services, but we're truly converted, led of the Holy Spirit of God, preparing for the kingdom of God and eternal life. All of those things, see. Verse 6, I will freely sacrifice to you. Now, what of our sacrifices? Well, they're the spiritual sacrifice of prayers and praise and thanksgiving and walking in God's way. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good for he. Now, notice verse 7. I want you to mark this verse. I want you to pray about this verse. I want you to think about this verse. For he has delivered me out of all, circle that, all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Now think about that in relationship to those who oppose you in your life. Think about that in relationship to even your own sins that you're still fighting and battling because they are enemies against you. Understand that? All right. Now let's come to the New Testament. Let's see what we're fighting against. Let's see how in this world it's going to be something. Let's come to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, okay? Ephesians 6. And this is becoming absolutely more true and visible every day as we witness what is going on and remember what Jesus promised. That which is spoken in secret is going to be heard from the housetops. And I think today, with all of the instant communication that we have, the cell phones, the emails, the television, the radio, whatever it may be, we know these things right away. Now notice verse 10, how this ties in with the theme of today. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength, because God is our helper. God is the one who is with us. He loves us and has given us of his spirit. Put on the whole armor of God, because we're in a spiritual warfare, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And those are the slick schemes. Those are the things that can sound so blessedly good because there's promise of a benefit. Remember, if it's not according to the word of God, it's because there's no light in them. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. No, this is a spiritual battle. What we see with flesh and blood are just those things that we can see. We can't see the principalities and powers behind the scenes, but against principalities and against powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age. Isn't that so? Against spiritual power of wickedness in high places. Now it says there in Revelation 12 and verse 9 that Satan is deceiving the whole world. And it shows there in Revelation 13, there's a coming world government, and it's coming bigger and faster than we have ever understood. And it's going to be more all-encompassing than we have grasped in the past. And it's coming. It's coming. Yes, indeed. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, everything that there is, love of God, the truth of God, faith in God, trusting in God, asking God to be with us in times of troubles and difficulties, so that you may be able to resist the evil day, and having worked out all things to stand, just like Moses told the children of Israel, stand, don't go backward. We're to stand for the truth, stand for the love of God, stand for what is right, stand for the things that we know we need to do. And so that in times of trouble and others need help and encouragement, we are there and we are able to help and we're able to give them direction and we're able to encourage and inspire them. Because you see, we all need to endure unto the end, and then shall we be saved. To stand. Now notice, stand therefore, having all the armor of God, having your loins girt about with truth, and wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Now that's to protect your inner parts, which are all weak, aren't they? Yes. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's what we have been doing, preaching the gospel to the church and to the world. Besides all these things, take up the shield of faith. So when those missiles and fiery darts come with the faith of God. You can reject it out of your mind. You can put it away from you. And you can say, get you behind me, Satan. And you can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants us to do. That's how this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is to be, that we learn, that we change, that we grow, that we be strengthened, that we be uplifted, that we be inspired, because of what God is going to do for us. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked one and put on the helmet of salvation. And we do need that, as I have given in the series. Who and what controls your mind? Well, if you have the helmet of salvation, there are not going to be the fiery darts of the wicked one getting entrance into your mind. You can just say, get you hence, Satan. Don't focus in on those things. Think on the things of God. And he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why we're to have the word of God written in our hearts and in our minds, because then we can use that as a spiritual weapon from within to resist, to cut away from the evil, to get out of the grips of the things that are coming upon us, you see. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why daily prayer, daily study, daily walking in the way of God. That's how we do it, day by day. Just as we are to ask God and thank him for the physical food that we receive day by day, we're also to be fed spiritually day by day with the word of God. And brethren, we live at a time where we have the whole word of God. And just think of all the spiritual things that we can learn, all the spiritual things we can grow into because of what God has given. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and in this very thing be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, that's something. Now, let's understand what Christ is going to do. Let's understand how he is going to do it. Let's come to Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Now, here is a great and fantastic verse. Let this be burned indelibly in your mind for spiritual strength. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 6. So then let us boldly say, now boldly, trusting in God, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now why? Let's come back here to verse 5. For he has said, whenever you get discouraged, don't think you're being cut off. Come to God in prayer. Here is a promise. You can come to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, at the right hand of God, and our Father, you have given this promise to us right here. For he has said, in no way will I ever leave you? No, I will never forsake you in any way. Now, do you understand that? Do you believe that? Can you act upon that? Yes, you can. That's the meaning of the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we can boldly say, as we read first, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And you can overcome Satan the devil. You can overcome the world. You can have God, through repentance and forgiveness, put your sins out of your life. Because God is your helper. Christ is your Savior. So this is the meaning of the last day, the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.